Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. It's your breath that is in our lungs. We bless you. We bless you.
Oh me, yeah. Oh me, yeah. Mo fe mo mi, yeah. Son chan. La tori te wa. Oh me, yeah. Oh me.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, Mommy, Pastor Bello, Mommy Bello, Pastor D, and everybody present in the house this morning. Amen. It's a privilege to be in God's presence, and every time we come, we should have an expectation to be blessed, to be edified. Hallelujah. Let our hearts be open, our spirit should be open to whatever God will say to us. Alright, so this morning, 2 Kings chapter 3, I will just encourage our heart. I've shared this once sometimes during one of the youth meetings. I just felt it would be a blessing to us this morning. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a shipmaster, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria at the same time, and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab had rebelled against me. Would thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. And there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord had called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of dishes, for thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a lightning in the sight of the Lord, he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand, and ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mine every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that they were able to put on armor, and up all that were able to put on armor, and uproared, and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side, as red as blood. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they are smiting one another. Now therefore Moab to the spoil. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites, even in their country. And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man his stone, and filled it, and they stopped all the wells of water, and felled all the good trees. Only in Kaharaseth left they the stone thereof, albeit he the slingers went about it and smote it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too soft for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but he could not. Then he took his elder son that should have reigned in his stead, and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. Hallelujah. This is a beautiful story. I made us to read the entire story, even though I needed just the last two verses of that chapter, so that we can be familiar with this entire story. We have read the story. You know, King of Israel, Jehoshaphat, always find himself in trouble one way or the other. And here again, he found himself in trouble. He came into alliance with
the king of Israel, which in a way God was not really pleased with them. The Bible says he did evil, but not like his father. So his case was better than that of Ahab. Hallelujah. Even though it was evil. Amen. Alright. So, and you know, he was to fight against the king of Moab because the king of Moab had rebelled against him. And then Jehoshaphat decided to support him. There was no water. They sought the prophet. Elisha came. The hand of the Lord came upon him. He prophesied. And there was miracle. He said there was that. He said you won't see rain, but just make ditches. And that happened. There was sufficient water for them to drink. And God spoke. And you know, the prophet said, this is a simple thing. Getting water is not even an issue. But you are going to win this battle. Amen. And then they went to the battle. And according to the word of the servant of the Lord, they actually, you know, they overcame, you know, but the victory was not sealed. Verse 26. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too strong for him, he took in him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. When the king of Moab is a hidden nation. Moab is a Gentile nation. When the king of Moab saw that this battle, of course he has lost the battle, but when he saw that it's like this battle is going to, the way it's going to end is going to be too much for him to bear. The Bible says he took 700 men that drew swords, let them go to the weak link. You know, the weak aspect. They wanted to go to the king of Edom. We have seen that going to Israel or going to Joseph would not work. So he has said to go to the king of Edom, but that didn't prosper. And then he said, well, at this point, we have to do something. And then the Bible said that he took his eldest son, who should have come into kingdom after him, and offered him as a sacrifice, and then the battle turned. The Bible said there was great indignation against Israel, and they had to return. At that point, Israel could no longer continue with the battle. The Bible said there was a great indignation. What is an indignation? That word means fury. It means wrath. Who is angry with Israel? From whence came wrath? From whence came fury? Certainly that could not have been God. Amen. Certainly that could not what? Have been God. Listen, sorcery and witchcraft is something that is ancient. And we're going to be deceiving ourselves only if we tell ourselves there is nothing like sorcery and witchcraft. And this morning, that's what I want to talk about. I'm not teaching about witchcraft. I'm not teaching about sorcery. But I'm teaching us as a people of God how we have to defend ourselves in such times. Amen. Was God not for Israel? You may say that Israel is a backsliding nation, but they got prophetic assistance. If God was totally against them, God would have told Elisha, as far as this battle is concerned, I'm not interested for it. The word of the Lord came. He said, you are going to overcome. But when the battle became too strong for the king of Edom, the king of Moab, I have to help myself. And then he went into sorcery. Hello? Are we together this morning? Perhaps you just remember that, come on, there is a way we used to do this thing before. Or whether there was, I don't know, I know that Pastor has said this over time here, that nations go to war with their gods. As a king, perhaps he has a medium. Perhaps he has a sorcerer. Perhaps he had somebody who could go into the realm of the spirit and consult. I don't know how he came about that decision, but there was a decision was made, and then they told him, see, one way you can help yourself out of this battle, the scripture didn't say that, but I'm just trying to say how he came about that. Perhaps it was his own innovation, or perhaps one of his priests or one of his mediums have told him, this is what you should do. Sacrifice your son to the God, and then you are going to see how the thing. And he did it, and it worked out. So So the king of Israel that at that time had the victory, the battle turned against them because somebody used sorcery and witchcraft. Now, it's not a good time like this that we'll talk about this, because I remember 2 weeks ago when we were praying on a Thursday for Nigeria, I was saying something along this line, which has something to do with what I'm preaching this morning, and I said, we will only be deceiving ourselves if we say that this nation is not under the grip of sorcery. Our leaders are sorcerers. So if you say that there is no sorcery against you, it's against your nation and it's affecting you. If you are an undergraduate here, sorcery has kept you at home for over 3 months. It's not, but people that rule you are under the influence, and that is affecting you. Anyway, I was not even, it was Pastor Bello that said, told us, is it? I think that was the first time I was saying that was Maraboto. What? It was it? Marabot. That some people look at. So, is Marabot of the Spirit of God? Amen. What? These guys are into serious witchcraft. They're into serious magic. We are being ruled by men like that. We are being ruled like people like kings of Moab. Do you know how many people's lives go for people to get into political offices? Hello? It's the same thing that is playing out, it's ancient. Amen. It's ancient. It's not new. So when there's somebody, people will always die around election. There's nothing you can do about it because the entry into that place is not easy. People must break through to take such power. And so we just sit down there and say, well, and no. God is with Israel, but at the same time, some people are opening certain dangerous portals that are bringing some influence here that is disrupting things. But the battle turned, and Israel had to go. Now, you know that offering was not to God. Hello? Do you agree? So God could not have been the one that responded. Hello? You can offer sacrifice to devils now and God will respond to you. Hello? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nation from before thee whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take it to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their God, say, how did this nation serve their God? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord, which he hated, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters, they are burnt in the fire to us. To their gods. So God doesn't take sacrifice of people's life. He has never and will never. Look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106, let me quickly confirm. Psalm 106, verse 36 to 37. Look at it. It was talking about backsliding Israel. He said, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yes, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto what? Unto devils. So in 2 Kings chapter 3, when the king of Moab took his elder son that should have reigned in his stead and offered it, the offering was not to God, it was to what? Devils. And devils responded to him. If the offering was not to God, God would not have responded. And so because God does not take the offering, and God warned the children of Israel in a number of places when through Moses, that be careful that you don't go into such practice. And God specifically told them that, you saw it in Deuteronomy chapter 12 that we read, that don't do it, don't practice it. I hate it. It's an abomination to me. But later the children of Israel got backslidden, and we saw them in Psalm 106. They also started to go into such practices that was not acceptable to God. Why am I saying that? I'm saying because then you wonder. The Bible said there was a great indignation against Israel. What happened? Where did that spirit come from? That rod didn't come from God. It was a response from devils to that sacrifice. Listen, when people raise devilish altars, devils will come. See, this realm is not being governed by human intellect. It's being governed by spirit. It's a deception when we say that, well, it is just human minds and all that. No, there are certain realms that cannot go. He tried it. He took 700 men that Jews saw, strong men. He wanted to see if he could go. When he saw that didn't work, he stabbed into another dimension and he went into occultism. Even James told us, when he was talking about the wisdom, he said, this wisdom descended not from above. Because his first word is earthly, is what? Then is what? Devilish. That was the peak. Earthly wisdom. All your thesis and physics and mathematics and telecommunication, all those things are low. Amen. By the time you go into sensual things, psyche, you're going to talk about human philosophy. That's another dimension. You're now taking into metaphysics. Where things like acupuncture. Those are metaphysical realm of medicine. Amen. What am I saying this morning? Hallelujah. Are you okay? Amen. Alright. So, there is devilish dimension. And that was what he did. Now, Jesus said something about the gates of hell. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Because of our time, we don't need to read the entire story. You know the story, verse 17, Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There is something called gates of hell. Gates talks about portals. Gates talks about entrances that are managed, that are controlled, such that nothing that is not wanted can come out or go in. So when you're talking about gates of hell, it's talking about portals that allow darkness to enter into this realm. Is that not the same thing he said in Genesis? Jacob, after he had his dream, we will not go there because of time. Jacob, after he had his dream, and he said he slept, and then he saw what? He saw a ladder, and he saw what? Angels ascending and what? And descending. And then he woke up and said, wow, this place is not a nice place. So this is the house of God. This is what? The gate of what? Of heaven. Meaning here, spirit, there is a portal, there is an opening for spiritual ascendancy and descendancy. Meaning that here, angels can go up, angels can come. This is the gate of heaven. The same thing is talking about the gate of heaven. Talks about portals. And people know how, there are people that know how to open such portals. That is what occultism is all about. Hey, yeah, occultism. What is occultism? Occultism is how to open the gate of a place to devils. So when people go into occultism, they are opening up themselves to devilish fellowship. Hallelujah. That's what, so when it is, so there is a gate of hell, there are portals that allow things to come here. So what happened on that battleground was that when the king of Moab offered his own son, he opened a portal and certain devils stepped into that battle and they changed the situation of the place. Hello? When he offered that sacrifice, the acceptance of that sacrifice was I don't know what English word to use, but there was a flow. Certain being stepped into that battle, and the thing turned, it changed. And you see, not just on the national level, many times we see that even in our lives, listen, you have to be careful. When your life is characterized by too much defeat, you have to watch it. You have to watch it. He said, well, Pastor Ogie, that was in the New Testament. See that Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. What give us 1 Thessalonians 2:18? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but what happened? Satan hindered us. I don't know how he did it. I don't know which way he did it, but he said Satan did what? Satan hindered us. So even Paul, in the quest for his apostolic mandate and his apostolic commission, there were times he ventured to make certain moves that Satan barricaded him, and Paul could not go on in that journey. Amen. So it's not something that is even now. That is why I said that when your life is too characterized, because that, what was the experience? He said, and they left the battle and they went. You know, many times we ascribe everything to God. When somebody tries to get admission 3, 4, 5 times, I feel God is not allowing me. Who told you? Does it necessarily mean God that is not allowing you to go? You know, Pastor Dilly and I was talking to somebody who made attempt to travel out and go and be his master's abroad, and then it was not working, and yet I felt God is telling me to say no. But I know that my father is intelligent. And truly, if he doesn't want me to do something, rather I would have gone back and said, God, what's happening? This matter is not working. What did Paul do? When Paul had an issue, he said, I was having a problem. He said, 3 times I besought the Lord that this thing be taken away from me. What did this do? He said, my grace is sufficient. I know that this one is not alone shame me. It's God that is what? That is doing me. And he has told me his grace is sufficient for me. Hallelujah. I don't have time. But what I'm trying to say in essence is this, that I just want us to, you see, the problem is there are people that have given their whole attention to devils. We are not giving our entire attention to devils. But we know that devils have killed our brothers. Devils have killed our sisters. Devils have killed our pastors. Devils have destroyed homes. Devils have... There are things all around us, and that by... I just told us about our own nation that is under the stronghold of sorcery. One of the things we needed to do, since by sorcery and witchcraft, people open portals of hell, then we also must know how to open portals of heaven. It's just It's simple. It's simple. If you release your force against me, then I must know how to release my own force, what? Against you. And good enough for me, what I have is greater than what is out there. So the problem is that we have strength. The problem is that we are preserved and we are kept and we are guarded. Yet we become victims of things that we are not supposed to be. And dropped, what, a letter also? Is death? Is there a picture, like an obituary? You can imagine. It was not a dream, it was life. She was alive, but as younger sister or something, saw on her table a obituary picture, as in life. They had decided her case. But she had to take care of the situation. And I remember Pastor Two that was sharing all the case of what was her name, Rebecca Brown, you know, that witches all over America were already releasing things against her, and then she was sleeping. And, you know, and God had to send people to her and say, you are dead. And then she had to stand up and take care. She would have had then become history. What I'm saying is this, that at any level, either at individual level, either at family level, listen, people here don't take things by, I've said it before, by sensual wisdom. People enter into sorcery. People take offices by sorcery. Listen, there is no undefended seat anywhere. There's no undefended, listen, and that is what all these Yahoo Plus and Yahoo, all these things are talking about, people taking pants and what are all of those things? They are sorcery, they are witchcraft. And what are they doing? They are only seeking the assistance of spirits to break through. It's all about breaking through and advancing. I'm trying to make progress, but it's like I'm not making progress. Then you go into realms that are dark and bring things there, and then spirits come and pump. There's a way. So if we don't learn how to also, so when things like that come against you, what do you do? How do we help ourselves in such, how do we order our life? You think making it in entertainment, making it in all those things is by good voice? They have a good voice. Oh, I love you, Lord. If you know what those guys are doing to sell things. Somebody wants to get promotion. She went to sleep with her boss. What is she trying to do? She's opening something. They're going to wickedness. They want to become wicked. Because devil is the wicked one. So when you become wicked, you are attracting. It's by wickedness. If you want devils to come to you, be wicked. Be ruthless. They know this are kind of person. You attract devils. So people do all kind of things, and that is why Christians can't compete. You can't compete because you go there with first class. Then they have made some moves. And then why the guy is still thinking, the devil is just pumping. Give the job to this guy. You think people don't do such things. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot about this matter. But one thing, I've said it. If people know how to open portals of hell, let's learn how to open what? Portals of heaven. The gate of heaven. How was the gate of heaven open to Jesus? Let's look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Okay, before we look at Luke chapter... Okay, let's look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was what? The heaven was what? Verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Now let's look. Now, Luke told us about the fact that he was praying. Now, let's look at what Matthew has to tell us about Matthew chapter 3 from verse 13. Matthew 3, 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. If Jesus had refused the baptism of John, that heaven would not open. He said, suffer it to fulfill all righteousness. People have taken suffer it to fulfill all righteousness. Let's just do something so that things can work. No! Righteousness is doing God's will. If people are not it was ordained of God that Jesus be baptized of John. It was not a passing thing. It was something that was in the line of fulfillment of his purpose. If he had bypassed it, he would have not realized his purpose. So when we say to fulfill all righteousness, it's not something that is something we just do. No, it is something that is core, deliberate to our life. And so when Jesus submitted himself to the baptism of John, and then Luke told us that he was praying alongside his being submitted, and then that ensured the heaven was opened for him. So I want us to go on with two basic things. One, our consistent walk of obedience. And two, our commitment to prayer. Second Corinthians chapter 10. My time is less than 5 minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10, 3. For though we walk in flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every thing that exhausted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. When what? Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is what? So, walking in obedience positions me to take a stand against what? Disobedience. That is where it begins. James chapter 5. James, I'm rushing it, sorry, because time is against me. James chapter 4, rather. James chapter 4, verse 6. James 4 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. What is it? What? He said, submit yourself therefore to what? To God. Resist the devil. You cannot take a position against the devil when you are under the covering, or when you are outside God's covering. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. So when you are under God, and that is what it means, that is when you can use his name. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Take a position against the devil, and he is going to flee. Listen. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15. Verse 22, you know the story. 1 Samuel 15, 22. And Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of what? Listen, you can't be in witchcraft and take a stand against witchcraft. Do you understand that? He said, for rebellion is what? So a rebellious person is operating witchcraft. Is that not what that scripture says? It's a rebellion is as the sin of what? Of witchcraft. So when a man is not submitted to God, is as though he's operating witchcraft and he cannot take a position by God against that same thing. Is one. And that is why, so it is your obedience positions you to take a position where you can take a stand against lawlessness. Finally, as I close now, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. I'm sorry. You just have to go and help the Holy Ghost to deepen this message for you. But I've already given out the major things. But the Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But whom he abide the day of his coming. And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. And purge them as gold and silver. That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. As in the days of old. And as in what? Former years. He's saying that what I'm going to do, I'm going to purify the sons of Levi, and when the sons of Levi is purified, they also will in turn help to purify Judah and Jerusalem. And when that is done, he said the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be what? Will be pleasant. What is the offering of Judah and Jerusalem? It's not, of course, there are many things, but basically, he said, the Tamar told Saul, he said, obedience. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. So many times when God is talking about offering, he's talking about consciously walking in obedience to him. Amen. Walking in obedience. That is really the fruit that God is expecting. Listen, our sacrifice is not majorly anything we do or we bring. It's more than offerings. It's more than money. What God is saying, God is looking forward to a life. A life that's going to bring him pleasure. That is going to be pleasurable to him. Oh my God. Time is against me. I would have showed you in Colossians chapter 1. I said that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto what? Unto all pleasing. So the pleasure is the walk. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto what? All pleasing. So the pleasing is in the walk. And look at what that Malachi chapter 3. Look at what verse 5 now says. After that, he now says, and I will come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against what? Do you see that? Then I will come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the what? The sorcerers. So what is keeping back? Is because of Judah and Jerusalem. Why? Because Judah and Jerusalem is not yet bringing off pleasant offering. And like I said it, I'm saying it again. Nigeria is going to continue the way it is until the church wakes up. There's nothing we can do about it. The state of the church is the state of the nation. It's here. He said, I will come near to you to judgment and I'll be a swift witness against the sorcerer. God will not judge the sorcerer that is ruling this nation. Until all of us here are cleansed and we begin to walk worthy, bringing pleasant offering and pleasing to the Lord. It's clear. It is his word. We will continue to be under the mechanism of sorcerers. Sorcerers will continue to rule until the church changes. My wife was wording one money and she was saying, but what's wrong with this nation? People are Christians are praying. Then she quoted this scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that says, my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Then will I hear from heaven. I said, you quoted it wrongly. He said, the scripture says, my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I said, there you missed it. turning from their wicked ways because his people are wicked. His people have wickedness. God is waiting for the offering of Judah and Jerusalem. That's the church. On a national level, when we do that, our cries and our prayer, God will attend to our prayer and there will be deliverance. There will be deliverance. It is not the destiny of our nation for sorcerers and people that consult mediums to be our rulers. It's the church that has positioned wickedness to thrive. Let's rise to our feet. You don't have to, listen, people will continue to go into darkness, people will continue to go into occultism, people will continue to employ sorcery to do all kinds of things, but you have an edge. You have an edge, and that edge that you have a God that is above all. But if you don't know how to cause that realm to be open to you, have simply continue to walk in obedience. Submit yourself to God. In times of trouble, lift up your voice and cry. Heaven will open over you and there will be deliverance and there will be victory. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I don't even have prayer point for us this morning. Father, we give thanks to you. 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 Oh, we give thanks to you. Respect, respeka baladia. Endoski brandi esko pruvele. Zusketadian de papulundi brita hakrisa. Zukreste gia. Lefrenduski pronta gia. Kaliki kuste gala. Yam pren tuki anglesta. Brifroto kaligi ando shapata. Beku katia. Sevli prutia. Kante gila brande steka. Revino suka balabari akala. Resha kata balabaya. God is building a people of power. God is raising a people of praise. That we move through this land by spirit. And we glorify his precious name. Oh, build your church, Lord. Make us one. Join us, Lord. To your son. I don't know the song I said about it. Church. Oh, make us. I want you to lift up your voice to God this morning. Your church, cleanse us, give us grace to walk in obedience to you, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.